You also have to acknowledge that we have enemies. China is trying to kill us. I mean, they're killing our kids with fentanyl. 80% of generic drugs are made in China and India. Almost 90% of the ingredients come out of China. You have over 60% increased chance of death or hospitalization if you take a Chinese or Indian drug. You really have to admire the president. He arrested Nicolas Maduro. He's indicted Raul Castro for killing Americans, which he did. I think in Cuba's case, the next step will be Raul Castro. His family will be arrested. Diaz will be arrested. And then the peaceful protesters are going to rise up and force a changing government.
Let's talk about Mayor Mamdani for a quick second. He is clearly a communist.
He's anti-Semitic. He hates Israel. He wants to arrest Netanyahu for defending his country when he won't arrest the gangs in his own city that are hurting his own citizens.
If you don't share our morals, our values, and want to assimilate, you shouldn't be here.
Last year alone, ICE arrested 10,000 KSTs, known or suspected terrorists, that were within the walls of our country.
But thank you for taking those slings and arrows and for defending and representing the agency and the men and women in uniform who defend and protect our sovereignty every single day. Thank you very much.
I don't know if many of your viewers know how essential you were to recruiting for ICE. I think it was something like 50,000 applications, and in large part thanks to you. So thank you for what you do for the country.
Hi, I'm Dean Cain, and welcome to the Homeland here on Proud American Studios, where we discuss all things truth, justice, and the American way. Today, I'm honored to be joined by two amazing guests, Florida Senator Rick Scott and former Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security, Trisha McLaughlin. It is a jam-packed show, so let's get right to it. First, I am honored to speak with Florida Senator Rick Scott. Now, for those of you out there who don't know, Senator Scott is a Navy veteran, had a very, very successful business career in healthcare, then was elected governor of Florida from 2011 to 2019, where he completely turned that state around. And in 2019, he became a U.S. senator. He's now serving his second term as a senator. So he's almost 8 years in the Senate now. He's just come from committee. Senator, it's an absolute pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah, we just did a bunch of nominations for better positions in the armed services. I think of over 300 people and new people to work at the Department of War. So it was a positive meeting.
It's wonderful to have something positive happen because, and I'm a fan of your Facebook posts. I'm not much of a Facebook person, but people send them to me all the time. And it's kind of like politics for dummies. So even I can understand what's going on. You just put one out the other day, which I thought was awesome, which is because the Senate and the House won't be both in session for a long time after this week. You did one. I'm going to call it the mom theory. Do your chores before going out to play. That's what you called it. I'm just summarizing. It's very effective. And so, but I love the fact that you just came out of committee, but and something actually got done. But what's going on? Why is the House and the Senate, why are they not going to be in committee again until October 1st or something?
It doesn't make sense. You know, I'm probably like you. When I was growing up, like my mom on Saturdays, when my older brother and I wanted to go out and play, she said, no, you have to clean the whole house, every room of the house. We had to do everything before we got to go out and play. I'm a business guy. We did the same thing in business. You didn't need to go on vacation unless you got all your work done. And that's how most people lead their lives. Up here, that's not the deal. We have a recess scheduled, starting after the first week of August, and come hell or high water, everybody says, do that. It doesn't matter that, you know, we haven't funded government. We haven't passed the Save America Act. We've got some other things that we want to get done. Sanctions bill against Russia, things like that. So we shouldn't be leaving until we get all those things done. My mom wouldn't let me leave. She'd say, no, you got to stay there, Rick, until you get your job done.
100%. My mom would say the same thing, and my dad would enforce it with it. No question about it. Okay, let's talk for a second about the Western Hemisphere, because that's obviously a huge issue right now. And of course, that includes Venezuela, Cuba, among others. President Trump and Secretary Rubio have done a great job, in my opinion, of enforcing the Donroe Doctrine, the Donroe, not Monroe, but it's the new version. They've been determined to regain control of the Western Hemisphere, which has become a huge, huge problem under the last administration. How do you see that going, in your view?
Well, first off, you really have to admire the president. Number one, he arrested Nicolas Maduro, so for you know drug trafficking charges. He had already been indicted, and so he got arrested. That's a real positive there. He's indicted Raul Castro for killing Americans, which he did. And so in on top of that, there's a whole bunch of other people that have been indicted. So we have a shot. Now, we're not there yet. We don't have democracy in Venezuela and Cuba yet, but we have a shot. Now, we got a lot of work to do. We've got to get an election in Venezuela so the people of Venezuela can pick their leader, not Delcy Rodriguez, a duly elected person. You saw the president put out the information about how both Chavez and Maduro had been, stealing elections. And so Delcy Rodriguez didn't win anything. So she's the head of a drug cartel. So we've got to have real elections. So there's a lot of work to do. I know the president's working on it. Marcos Rubio is doing work on it. In Venezuela, all the political prisoners have to be released. No oppression. Get people the opportunity to run for office. Now, Cuba, I think what we're going to have to do is arrest Raul Castro and his family. Here's what people don't get about socialism. The way socialism works, other than those in power live in poverty. That's the way it works. So with Mondami, what he's talking about socialism, you know, everybody's going to live in poverty but him. You know, he'll live in opulence, but everybody else in poverty. That's how it works in Venezuela. I think when Delcy Rodriguez got sworn in as supposedly the president of Venezuela, I think she had a $10,000 dress on. So she's not struggling. Neither is Raul Castro Díaz-Canel. So, and then the people of these countries are going to have to be very aggressive, which is fortunately in Cuba, they've had peaceful protests. Unfortunately, a lot of those people are in prison. They need to all be released.
No question about that. So let's go back to Venezuela for a second. Do you think that they're going to be able to? I mean, it's obviously going to be a long process, but things are happening at warp speed under this administration. Will like Maria Corina Machado, will she get a chance to run? Will she get a position to do that? Will we be able to have free and fair elections there? I know they're working on it. Are you optimistic that that's going to happen sometime soon?
It's going to happen. I'm very vocal about it. The president's committed to it. So the next step is to make sure the rest of the political prisoners are released, no oppression, and then set a date for the election and make sure the election is fair. We're going to have to rebuild their election system. We're going to have to bring in outside observers, but we're going to have a real election there. And I don't think we're that far away. The date, and then given all these candidates the opportunity, Maria will be part of the mix. Sure looks like today, if you look at everything, she'll be the winner. And I think she'll do a great job because she believes in freedom and democracy.
What a concept. What a concept.
Yeah, okay,
so obviously you represent Florida in the Senate, and Miami alone is home to almost 3 million citizens of Cuban descent. So Cuba itself has only 11 million citizens. So that's a huge number that are the diaspora that are out there in Miami, and you represent them. I did see your Facebook post about the difference between capitalism and socialism. It's an absolute night and day difference. People out here, they just don't understand because they haven't seen it. My brother went and visited Cuba as a musician. He went and toured there for a few days, and I talked to him yesterday about this specifically, and he talked about the squalor and the disgust. The cab driver is just some guy. He stopped off in the middle of the day, giving him a tour, and gave some money to his wife that they gave him, and he gave somebody $100 US, which was like an incredible amount of money. So I'm sure you've heard tons of stories just like that from so many of your constituents. Is Cuba going to be the next domino to fall? And how might that happen? Will it happen naturally? Are we going to have to militarily step in?
I think in Cuba's case, the next step will be Raul Castro and his family will be arrested. Diaz will be arrested. And then the peaceful protesters are going to rise up and force a changing government. There won't be anybody left after the Díaz-Canel family and the Raul Castro family. So I think the people of Cuba will rise up on their own, and we'll have elections.
I can only imagine what Miami will look like the day that happens. That is going to be a fiesta of fiestas.
Oh gosh, everybody will sigh, having their cordita and their cafe latte, and then celebrating. I mean, it would be There's a restaurant Versailles down in Miami, and it's basically the capital of Cuba. And so everybody it's like people are so excited the day that Castro died. because they thought that was a greater chance. So they're very appreciative of what President Trump's doing. So we just have to follow it up and get it done.
I can imagine the party. My gosh, that will be something to see. And the thing is, like when the Knicks just won the championships, there was rioting and there was, you know, looting and stuff. That is not going to happen in Miami. It will be a fiesta. They will be dancing, and I would like to be there in the middle of it.
Yeah, muy feliz.
Muy feliz. Yes. Okay, let's turn to the Save America Act. Now, what is the deal on this? Over 80% of Americans support requiring voter ID, and yet we can't get a vote on it in the Senate. It's frustrating for an everyday American out here looking. It's really frustrating to have so much support for something. Why are Democrats opposing such an absolute common sense bill that everybody supports?
Well, because Democrats can't win elections without fraud. I mean, think about their ideas. I mean, Mondami and AOC are their spokespeople. I mean, the Americans don't want socialism. Americans are not anti-Semitic, and so these people are crazy. So I agree with you. It doesn't make any sense. Now, here's the way the Senate works. It doesn't 50 votes, 51 to pass a bill, but we have this filibuster idea, which is all that is to say that you have to talk until you're blue in the face, and then we're going to vote. But the vote still goes to 50. What we've not done for years, for decades actually, is force people to talk. We've said, we know you don't want to waive the filibuster, so we're not going to make you talk. We should say either we're going to completely get rid of the filibuster process, so then it's just you go right to the vote, and it's 51 votes to win, or we say you're going to talk, and we're going to just have so much time to talk. You can talk to up to 24 hours. You get one time to talk, but once you're done, we are voting. So we got to do one or the other. Right now, the leadership hasn't been willing to do that. So I tell people, call everybody you know. Call every Republican senator, Democrat, and say, you have got to pass the Save America Act. If that means you stay there through August resets, you stay there for every day and make people talk until they're blue in the face, you do it.
This is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I love that movie, James Stewart. It was fantastic, and I'd love to see it. Plus, I love that citizens can help by calling their congressmen and senators. I mean, that's important. That's
it works. An
important step. And it actually does that actually mean something?
Oh yeah. If you here's the order of them. It's nice if you send a text or an email. It's even better if you make a phone call, and even better if you show up in person.
Wow.
If you show up in person, see, it's better to show up in person. Like I've got 9 offices in Florida. So people, and you need to be very clear. You want my vote in your next election. This is important to me. You better support this.
Wow.
So don't be rude about it. Just tell people, look, it's their vote. They get to do it. I represent Florida. So I tell people, look, I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I either win or lose election, and then that's what I'm going to do. When up here, sometimes people say, well, we want you to vote against your own state's best interest. I said, why? I'm not doing that. I don't work for you. I work for the people back home.
Well, if every senator and congressman felt that way, I think we'd have a whole different system, which is completely unfortunate. Now, we've been talking about the Save America Act. Election integrity is a massive, massive issue. President Trump addressed the nation the other night, showing Chinese interference involving the hacking of the personal data of at least 220 million of Americans. And then you posted this, which I love, which is so good. I love this. Who is voting in our elections? Is it you or is it Xi Jinping? I think it's very, very effective, and I want people to see that. How concerned are you about the Chinese interference, the foreign interference in our elections? The mainstream media, CNN, didn't even carry the president's speech live, and internet trolls and people are out there screaming, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal at all. It's a huge deal, is it not?
It's a huge deal. First off, we look what the president put out. We have people that are here illegal on our voter rolls. You saw what New Jersey put out. There's over 6,000 people on their voter rolls that are illegal.
And who voted, you've seen some of them.
You saw what happened to Spencer Pratt. where he got into the runoff, and then, oh, shocking. Oh, we found some new ballots. So I think there's a law in California that they can keep counting until the Democrats win. Because that's, you know, you saw what James O'Keefe put out, and you saw what Spencer Pratt did. They're paying people to vote for Karen Bass. So there's fraud going on. And here's what Democrats are so crazy about. The Democrats back home want it. The Republicans back home want it. Independents back home want it. It's only the elected Democrats that don't want it. And I think it's going to have an impact on elections. But if we want to win elections and make sure the person that actually gets the most votes, we're going to have to pass the Save America Act.
Is there time to get that done? Can we get it passed? Are there ways that we as the regular Americans aren't aware of?
So here's the ways to get it done. One, get rid of the filibuster. Okay. Two, make them talk. How long are they going to talk? Give them 2 weeks, then vote. Okay. Or three, there's a process called reconciliation where we only need Republican votes. So you could put something in there. So give an incentive to a state to do voter ID if they don't have it now. Give an economic incentive to a state to make, if they cleaned up their voter rolls, so there's no illegals. So we can, those are our options.
Man, if you were betting man, I'm here in Las Vegas. If you were betting man, what would you say the odds are that it's going to get passed, that it will get passed?
Well, I'm an optimist,
yes.
Right? So I'm an optimist. So I would say the odds are high, but it really comes down to how important it is to the public. If the voters decide that this next election, so when you go vote in November, whoever is running, if they haven't gone out there and busted their butt to get the Save America Act passed, then vote against them.
100%. 100%. So I hope, and I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I am a huge fan of Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. He's been on the show. He's fantastic. I know he hasn't been
confirmed. He's qualified.
He is so qualified. He hasn't yet been confirmed. Right. Hopefully that'll get done before people go and take their vacations and their recess. Birthright citizenship is a huge issue that people don't seem to be taking that. You know, regular citizens or the mainstream media doesn't talk about it like it's a big deal, but it's a huge deal. You introduced a bill, One Nation, One Visa, regarding birthright citizenship. I think it's a fantastic idea that people can't just go and, well, I'll let you explain it.
Well, first off, you shouldn't be able to come here as a tourist, have a baby, and your child's American citizen. That's number one. Number two, you shouldn't be able to send your an embryo over here and have it born, you know, do a surrogate, and then that child becomes an American citizen. Well, you've never even come here. Like, think about it right now. Here's what you could do. You could send an embryo over here. Okay, do a surrogacy. Never show up in America. That baby is born because it's born here. It's an American citizen. Down the road, you can say, oh yeah, my son's an American citizen, so I want to be an American citizen. And this could be the worst people in the Communist Party of China. It could be Putin's family. Could be anybody. I mean, how dumb are we? We don't fix this.
That's the question Americans are asking, but we can't figure out what it is that goes on there in Washington, how something like that could exist. And you're shaking your head because you're in Washington and probably can't figure it out.
It's so frustrating. I mean, you know, one thing's I ought to have term limits, because then people come up here and you know, they say, okay, I've got 6 years or I've got 12 years, whatever the number is. I've got to get my stuff done and represent my state, instead of being up here and become a career politician and end up working for all the special interests.
100%. Well, you're a perfect example. You're a Navy vet. You went to work. You worked in healthcare, did very, very well. Then you became governor. Now you're a senator. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be citizen politicians, not career politicians. That makes me ill. And people keep talking about me running. I think Hollywood's a dirty business. Your business, the politician's business, is so much dirtier and so much nastier than Hollywood. And Hollywood is a cesspool. Speaking of cesspools, let's talk about Mayor Mamdani for a quick second. He is clearly a communist. He puts anti-Semitic rhetoric out there all the time. He tried to meet with the Iranian ambassador. He just put out a speech yesterday, which was embarrassing, lying about Israel and genocide, talking about the ICC, all this other stuff. What are your thoughts on, well, first of all, you should probably thank him for half of his tax base moving to Florida. But outside of that, what are your thoughts on Mamdani or people of his ilk? Because there seems to be a strong contingent of people who don't understand socialism, who are supporting socialism, running for office and getting elected right now.
Well, so here's the way to think about socialism. In socialism, you can vote your way into socialism, but you better have a gun because that's the only way you're going to get out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at anywhere they brought in. The one first thing they do is they take away all the guns.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have no rights. You have no ability to do anything. I mean, people vote for this stuff. Oh, it sounds good, right? Free sounds good. There's nothing free. Somebody's paying for it. Somebody's going to pay taxes for it. It's not like government has some money tree or anything. So my mommy, he's anti-Semitic. He hates Israel. You know, he wants to arrest Netanyahu for defending his country when he won't even arrest the gangs in his own city that are hurting his own citizen. His wife goes and celebrates October 7th, where you know, the Hamas, they murdered babies, they raped women, they killed over 1,200 people. I mean, just indiscriminately, just because they're Israeli. So, and then this guy, you know, he supports Hamas, he hates Netanyahu. He's destroying the city. I mean, he's going to destroy all the work ethic.
Yeah, I think he's a test case, and I hope that New Yorkers and the rest of the country gets a chance to watch what's happening there and watch it go down in the cesspool, because I think it's horrible. It's embarrassing what he's doing, and I hope that voters see that and can straighten that out. I don't love New York because I'm not a big fan of cities. I'd much rather be in Florida, but it is our greatest city, and it's the most powerful sort of city in America currently, until Miami becomes that after Cuba gets liberated. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
So just looking ahead here, I know we don't have you for very long here. What are the most sort of important priorities that you see, policies, reforms, things that you want to advance for America today as we're currently sitting?
Well, short term, we've got to secure election. That's number one. Short term, we've got to keep government funding. That's number two. Then we've got to say, okay, we got to balance a budget. We're not going to get inflation under control if we don't balance a budget. We're running $2 trillion deficits. We've also have to acknowledge that we have enemies. China is trying to kill us. I mean, they're killing our kids with fentanyl. So we got to crack down on that. They're stealing our jobs. We are relying on them for our generic drugs. And so anything comes out of China is probably filthy, right, and bad for you. So we got a bill passed out of the committee this week that's going to give you the country of origin where all your drugs are made.
Yes.
So there's a study that says that, so first off, here's the deal. 80% of generic drugs are made in China and India. Almost 90% of the ingredients come out of China. And there's a study at the University of Indiana that said that you have over 60% increased chance of death or hospitalization if you take a Chinese or Indian drug.
That's pretty straightforward.
We've got to continue to build up our military and support them, because look, the world's dangerous, whether we like it or not. Iran wants a nuclear weapon to kill us. Russia wants to kill us. She wants to kill us. So if somebody wants to kill you, you should take it seriously and say, okay, I'm going to build up my defenses so that can't happen.
100%, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, thank God for people willing to put on the uniform. You know, by the way, one of the nicest part of this job is I get to nominate 15 people a year for each of the military academies. If you do that, you feel really good about our country, because these kids care about this country.
They really do. One of my closest friends from college, he's got three kids, and they're all at West Point right now. And he is filled with pride. I am filled. He's out of Pennsylvania. I am filled with pride. It's fantastic. Way to go, Wilson family. I just think it's phenomenal. That's a wonderful thing. Nobody ever talks about what you just said. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you feel good.
Makes you feel good about our future. I think our young people are waking up to some of these nightmares and finally getting their head on straight.
Well, this is a good job in that I can help about 3 million people a year in my state. There's 24 million people live in Florida, and we get contacted by about 3 million of them a year. And so we're able to help people with all their federal issues. So that makes you feel good.
Well, I feel good with you in the Senate, my friend. So thank you so much, sir, for being here, for taking the time, coming right out of committee and talking to us here in the homeland. God bless you and Godspeed, sir.
Thanks. Take care. See you in D.C.
Yes, sir.
We're out west.
D.C., I prefer.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheers. awesome speaking to Senator Scott. He's a great leader, and I'm super happy to have him in the Senate. But right now, we are going to be very, very proud to welcome Tricia McLaughlin, former Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs for the Department of Homeland Security in President Trump's second administration, which is right now. Tricia, welcome to the Homeland.
Dean, thank you so much for having me. Good to see you.
It's great to see you. Married life is treating you well. You look fantastic and happy and glowing, might I say. So let me start with this. Under the last administration, we essentially had an open border with tens of millions of illegal aliens pouring through our southern and northern borders that no one ever talks about, but obviously a huge national security threat. Now, before we go to you, former Secretary of DHS Alejandro Mayorkas, who's the name I hate speaking, he repeatedly said, the border's secure, the border's secure. Former Vice President and border czar Kamala Harris, she did absolutely nothing. She fell out of a coconut tree. Biden did absolutely nothing. And it turns out that all we needed was a new president. So things finally got under control. And you were the spokesperson for DHS during this whole first part of the administration's term. And I want to thank you up front for taking all the slings and arrows that I know you took. I took a lot of them as well. It's unbelievable, a fraction, and it's crazy. But thank you for taking those slings and arrows and for defending and representing the agency and the men and women in uniform who defend and protect our sovereignty every single day. Thank you very much. How many people get to thank you on a show? When you go on a show, has anybody ever said thank you?
Well, Dean, you're so kind to say so. It was an absolute honor to serve the American people and President Trump and the administration. But I don't know if many of your viewers know how essential you were to recruiting for ICE law enforcement. We had just launched an initiative to hire 10,000 new officers. And Dean, I shot you a text message asking if you would be willing to help. You immediately jumped on board, and we ended up with, I think it was something like 50,000 applications, and in large part, thanks to you. So thank you for what you do for the country.
No, I'm honored. I think people don't understand how important it is to actually secure our borders and who's coming in and what's going on. Listen, it'd be wonderful if we could be altruistic and give everybody, you're all American, it's all wonderful. That doesn't make any sense. If you don't have our values, if you don't share our morals, our values, and want to assimilate, you shouldn't be here.
No, absolutely. And as you just said, we didn't need a new president. We didn't even need new laws. There were no new laws changed when President Trump came into office. We simply enforced the laws that were duly passed by Congress. Under the Trump administration, when I was there, there was nearly zero crossings at the border. Of course, a lot of the focus being at that southern border where we saw cartels, coyotes trafficking in humans, millions of Americans dying from fentanyl and other drugs that were coming across that porous border. One in three children who came across that border were at risk for being sexually assaulted or otherwise exploited. And it is all because of those open border policies. But Dean, I do want to also talk about that northern border, mm-hmm. because that's something that we often and understandably ignore. It doesn't get as much attention. But last year alone, there were 400 known or suspected terrorists that attempted to cross that northern border. Think if we had Kamala Harris in office, there would be 400 more known or suspected terrorists in this country, when we know that last year alone, ICE arrested 10,000 KSTs, known or suspected terrorists, that were within the walls of our country. We saw, you know, heinous acts of terrorism last year right around Thanksgiving, and we all know it just takes one to take a life and wreak havoc on the American people.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, you know, maybe we caught 400 last year, but under if Kamala Harris was there, 80,000 would have come. I mean, who knows how many would have come across? But when it's an open border like that, and you can just go ahead and go through and nobody cares, we're going to get the bad guys. But we're there, our Homeland Security folks, ICE, they're doing a phenomenal, Border Patrol are doing a phenomenal job now, rooting them out, getting them out. I love it. It's fantastic. It makes me very happy. But how difficult was it for you being in that position? You know, when you're sitting there defending, I mean, I catch so much flack for being an ICE agent and talking about it and supporting ICE. It's amazing how people just, my parents were interred in Minidoka in the Japanese internment. My grandparents were interred. My biological father was as well. well. They're saying, "Oh, I'm a race traitor." That's not it. We're trying to protect Americans here in the United States, and there are bad people who are trying to come across.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Just in the last decade alone, I really think how socialists, communists, Marxists have really flipped this issue on its head. Border security and internal immigration enforcement used to be a very popular bipartisan issue. I mean, look at Barack Obama. He was really deporter in chief. And I mean, you would have CNN and these other mainstream outlets go on ride-alongs. And I mean, largely cheering as they should be for law enforcement to get these lawbreakers out of our country. And it's just been completely flipped on its head. The job was tough, but I knew what I signed up for. I remember interviewing with then to be Secretary Kristi Noem and leaving that interview and feeling pretty confident I had the job, but telling my mom, well, that's going to be a sacrifice. And it was, but it was an honor. I would do it all over again. And I really can't think, Dean, of a greater issue that's going to impact generations and generations to come than if we don't fix this problem at our border in the interior of our country.
Well, bless you for doing that. And I got the same warning from my mother when I was. It's a tough thing. And of course, they love you love your kids. You want them to be safe. But you're also, she's probably so incredibly proud of the work that you've done. I am proud of you and I thank you. And you probably don't get thanked enough. So I'm going to do it 10 times during this show alone. You touched on it just now. I just read an article that you wrote about that northern border. And what people don't understand is, your average American person doesn't understand what's happening, what's going on, who is sending people across. The cartels, you mentioned them at the southern border, but there's cartels and Chinese state influencers and people, Chinese state-run folks who are trying to come through our northern border. We're in the middle of, well, I guess it's the beginning of renegotiating the USMCA, which is the trade agreement between Canada, United States, and Mexico. And there's a lot that goes on through trade with illicit money laundering, with precursors for fentanyl. By the way, it's no shocker that the murder rates are the lowest since 1900. It's no shocker that the fentanyl deaths have dropped off a cliff. It's because of people like you and President Trump and all our officers out there addressing the border security issues.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. Since 1925, the lowest murder rate, and you hear the media and Democrats scratching their head that this must be a coincidence and not the fact that almost 3 million illegal aliens have either been removed or self-deported from the country. If you're going to break one law, the first act of entering our country is breaking the law. You can pretty much bet that these people are going to break other laws as well. As you mentioned, the USMCA, that's the trade agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Right now, they're renegotiating that. In July, the United States decided the framework as was wasn't working, and it was at the detriment of the American people. And President Trump, he very much understands the fact that the economic might of the United States and our market being so attractive, it really gives us leverage in these negotiations to have access to our market. So right now, we are in the midst of negotiations with Mexico. Canada actually is not negotiating because the president has put additional tariffs on Canada, as many of your viewers have probably seen, on hockey sticks, on alcohol, because he's recognizing they're not being good neighbors to the United States. So what myself and a lot of other people who want to put the country first want to see in this new set of USMCA negotiations is that we start to really redefine the terms so that they're on America's side and that Canada and Mexico actually patrol their own borders. They're not just turning a blind eye while the CCP, while the cartels and these other organized crime groups try and bring in illicit drugs, illicit cigarettes, fentanyl, and other things that bring peril to the American people, but that there's actually sanctions that are in place, that privileges are taken away if that kind of illicit activity is occurring. But also, and this is, I think, gets missed a lot, on the Canadian border in particular, there are these zones, they're indigenous zones, and the Canadian Border Patrol won't patrol them because they say those are indigenous lands.
And they're on the
border.
What's
actually occurring is and they're on the border. And they actually became a total cesspool for organized crime. And that's where a lot of this activity is happening. But they completely allow these, in the name of indigenous laws, they allow these areas to be completely exploited.
Yeah, that is a big, giant flaw in the system, clearly. I mean, it's a black hole. Nobody knows what's going through there. Is that right?
Oh, exactly. And they're turning a blind eye to it. And that's at the peril of the American people, the American market, our health, fentanyl, I mean, illicit cigarettes that kill children, you name it. The Canadians, no problem for them. They're having to deal with the ramifications.
Yeah. What happened to our very polite neighbors to the north who were so fantastic and wonderful and friendly? I mean, Trudeau drove it into the ground. Mark Carney, who's the current PM, not doing great, in my opinion. I hope Canadians wake up and say, what are we doing here? And I love the idea that we're trying to incentivize both Canada and Mexico, incentivize their behavior to police their own spaces, even the black hole of the indigenous areas. I don't even know what they're called up there.
Oh, absolutely. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that World Cup game where the Prime Minister Carney was there with President Trump in that box and what kind of conversation was occurring. Because President Trump, he understands more than any president in my lifetime the power of the U.S. economy and our ability to leverage that in actually order to advance American national security in the interest of the American people. And he's doing just that with those hockey sticks and alcohol tariffs. And I think we're going to see more of that with this USMCA renegotiations.
Yeah, I think, thank God he's a businessman and knows how to do business and understands that and loves this. President Trump, for those who don't know, he loves this country so much and he's doing these things for the American people, but he gets vilified in the press. It's really astounding to watch. It's the same way you get vilified, same as I get vilified for loving this country and doing what's right for this country and the American citizens.
Yeah, I think it's the only thing that they can push back on is, you know, the isms of the world that you're a racist or you're sexist or you're a bigot. Because when you are losing on the policy side, all you have to resort to is these personal attacks. And when you're talking about the rule of law, which is exactly what Homeland Security is and this administration are finally trying to enforce after four long years of watching really manufactured humanitarian crisis occur, where, you know, millions of Americans were killed from drugs, but also the human trafficking toll. Dean, I know you've covered many times the number of children, at least 300,000 that went missing under the Biden administration. These were migrant children. That humanitarian toll, but never mind that, because the media doesn't want to talk about it. Instead, they will tell you how you're a racist, you're a bigot for wanting to enforce the rule of law.
Yep. I've been called all those names and then some over and over, and I'm sure you have too, which is crazy because I'm all for, I want to be the most helpful. We are the most helpful nation on the planet. We are the most giving nation on the planet, but not to our peril. That's a mistake. And I think that last administration went way overboard. I think we've been educating our kids incorrectly. And all that has to change. And it is changing under this administration. I am hoping and praying that the Republicans hold on to the House and the Senate at these midterms coming up. If the Save America Act gets passed, that would go a long, long way. And let President Trump and this administration help fix the things that have been going. I think it sort of feels like to me it was going wrong since even the deporter in chief, Barack Obama, because he was turning around a lot of people at the border and doing things like that. Biden let them in all over the country. So we have to go in and find them in all of these little areas that they never were, nowhere near the border.
Oh, exactly. And I think also the other piece of this was under the Biden administration, under the Obama administration, as you said, and even under the Bush administration, they were creating these parole programs, things like temporary protected status, yes, which, of course, the Supreme Court just had a major ruling on in the case of Haiti and others. But these are programs that are meant to be short. And they're meant to just be temporary programs. And instead, they've been completely exploited and they're basically becoming de facto amnesty. And that's how they've really been used up until this administration. So even if it doesn't look like illegal entry into the country, in so many of these cases through these programs, we're just rubber stamping people into this country with really little vetting.
Absolutely, 100% true. Obviously, I mean, you know what you're talking about. But I mean, it is kind of crazy. Temporary protected status.
Temporary.
What? Not 30 years.
Yes.
It's been so long, and it's unbelievable how we've been fleeced. I love what this administration is doing. I love that you're paying attention to the northern border now. You suggested in the article that there should be a dedicated task force focusing on dismantling the smuggling pipelines and holding Canada accountable. Would that be a DHS task force, the idea behind that? You got Secretary Bessent looking at the money and the treasure. He's been I love Secretary Bessent. He has done a phenomenal job. In fact, it's like a whole group of all-stars. Secretary of State Rubio has done phenomenally. President, obviously, is the leader. Secretary Hegseth's done a wonderful job. Mark Wayne Mullen is now the DHS. I haven't had a chance to meet with Mark Wayne yet. I haven't had a chance to meet him. I'm sad that Todd Lyons, my ICE director, is no longer my ICE director because I loved him. He was wonderful. But do you think that would be something the Department of Homeland Security should create, that task force, to go after this?
Yeah, I think it should absolutely be an interagency task force. So I think it would include the State Department. I mean, Marco Rubio, another superstar, the National Security Council, the Treasury Department, especially given the sanctions aspect of this. And then, of course, Homeland Security as well. I think it has to be multi-pronged. You have to have the enforcement. You have to have the policy across the board. I've been to the northern border a number of times, and I will say something that the Trump administration has done a phenomenal job of is giving those officers there the resources that they actually need. They were getting a lot of the same equipment that was at the southern border to the northern border, and yet the conditions are so very, very different, and the needs are so different. So they've done a great job of recognizing the need and getting them the equipment they need. But yeah, I think that task force has to be interagency.
The big beautiful bill helped fund that, I imagine. It helped get these things happening. And so, yeah, you don't want to be at the southern border. You want to be in the southern border, you know, with a cowboy hat on and light armor. And you want to be bundled up on that northern border, especially when it gets into the December. It's cold up in the Great White North.
Yes. Yeah. I learned a lot about tires on my trip to the northern border.
That's a big deal, especially for our vehicles and things that are going on. It's great. Well, Tricia, I want to say thank you tremendously for coming and joining us on the Homeland. Thank you for all your work at DHS and beyond. You're so young. I don't even know what you're going to do next, but bless you. I wish you the very best, and I hope you come on again and speak with us.
Dean, thank you so much for having me. Thank you. God bless you, and thanks for what you do for our country.
God bless. Thank you. Tricia McLaughlin. And that's The Homeland. Thank you for watching. If you want to become a founding member of Proud American Studios, go to ProudAmericanStudios.com and join up. God bless.